Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than a failed New Year's resolution. The number to call in. Actually, you can't call in. Never. Scratch that. I'll explain why you can't call in a minute. Don't call in. But you can join our chat room, the Den Pen, by going to davinsden.com and clicking chat and listen live. Or if you're listening on one of our affiliates, simply open up a new window in your browser, type in davincomedy.com, go to the Davin's Den page on the bottom, click on that, and then click chat and go. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. Joe Curry is efforting to be here. He shall be here, probably about an hour, half an hour, hour. You never know with Joe, with traffic. And Pip is not here. Here, but she's here, sort of. She's on the phone. Hello, Pip.
Hi, everybody.
How's it going?
Well, it would be better if I was there. I'm sorry I can't be. This makes 2 weeks in a row that I've had issues getting up to the studio.
Yeah. I've noticed that. I think you're sending us a message, and I don't think I like it. Always something. Well, we got a big show tonight. We're gonna be discussing the Washington Post depiction of Ted Cruz's children as monkeys in a cartoon.
Oh God!
We're gonna look at some things that are no longer in schools that we grew up with. We did that about a month ago. That was fun. Do some more of those. We're gonna answer questions from a fan in regards to the hacking of children's toys. And we're going to do more with Ann Jackson. Last week, Pip, you listened. You know, but for those who weren't listening last week, shame on you. But you get nothing but cold for Christmas next year and every year if you don't listen. But Ann revealed how she got victims to trust her as she led them to scammers to be re-scammed. Wasn't that nice of Ann?
Yes.
Yeah. So Pip, a lot's been going on since you've been here. You've had a birthday. You've had the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus H. Christ.
his name is not officially Jesus H. Christ, by the way.
How do you know? You weren't there when they named him.
No, I wasn't. But I think that anybody who knows the backstory knows that that's just something people throw in for fun.
Well, unless you have a birth certificate, I'm not believing you.
Well, this was the original birther issue.
Yes, this is. I'll tell you what, I wouldn't elect Jesus as president on that issue either.
You wouldn't want his what?
I wouldn't elect Jesus as president based on that issue. He's
He'd have to be born an American, but I think that some Americans think that Jesus is an American, I think, but no, he's Middle Eastern.
Well, isn't the Mormons with Joe Smith, what's his name, Joe Smith?
No.
It's very white.
What the hell was his name?
I think it's Joe Smith.
It is Smith, but it's not Joseph Smith? I'm going to have to look it up now. Thanks.
All right. Well, yeah, but I mean, isn't he like the new prophet? He's like the new Jesus, right? And he's American.
I think he was he thought he was the new leader. The new prophet, but I think that's why they call all their leaders prophet. Yeah, Joseph Smith, not Joe. What do you want, a first-name basis with him?
Yeah, we're cool. We're tight. Yeah, I mean, Joseph, what the hell's the big deal? Busted my chops. It's good enough.
Yeah, it's like Joey, have a bunch of wives, why don't you?
Yeah, I mean, listen, as long as I'm putting on my space underwear, he doesn't care.
That is just so bizarre, I can't even.
It's no more bizarre than anything else than wearing a beanie in your head or covering yourself in a potato sack. I mean,
I agree. Well, I agree that all the traditions have some things that just make no damn sense to me whatsoever, but people still do them out of respect, and I'm thinking, I don't know if that's necessary anymore, really. How respectful that is.
If you're a believer, it's necessary.
And I suppose it is, but from the outside, you gotta know this stuff looks weird.
Yeah, I don't think they care. I think that if you're a believer, you think everybody else is wrong and weird.
No, that's absolutely true.
And if you're a non-believer in anything, everybody thinks that's weird, except for other non-believers. So that's all.
Oh yeah. In certain circles, if you say atheist, cute. I mean, it's not exactly like our guest from last week who was from the Church of Satan, but a Satanist. But if you say you're an atheist, that raises some eyebrows.
I think it's becoming more accepted.
Yes. It is. It's not like it's brand new. And people
it's brand new. Yeah, actually, I think that was the first religion not believing.
Well, there was nothing to believe in yet.
Well, I mean, they believed in, like, sun gods and earth gods and snake gods and, you know, they believed in stuff.
Oh, yeah, well, that's not meaning that you don't believe in. That means that you believe in things that now are considered, oh, how silly is that? They believed in the sun.
Yeah, like, no. I mean, those beliefs are ridiculous, clearly. As we all know,
there's a big bearded guy hoovering around in the clouds.
Yes.
That's not silly.
No, that's for reals.
It's just, you know, to other people, it's just as weird.
I doubt that. I'm sure they all believe that Yahweh or Allah or whatever you want to call him, I'm sure they all understand that he's the numero uno and he's the real one.
He's the only real one. That's right.
Yeah. He's the real thing. Wasn't that like a Coke slogan, the real thing?
Thing. I didn't necessarily want to draw a comparison between most religions' leader and, you know, spiritual guide and cocaine, but if a cocaine based soft drink, but
yeah,
if you insist.
They don't put cocaine in it anymore, and we don't really get to see God anymore. So it's the same thing, both very popular and both delicious.
Both delicious.
God is delicious. Tasty God.
God is delicious for many people.
He is. He fills you up with love.
You know, but back to the whole idea of Christmas.
Yes.
It is really weird, like fairly newly embracing the fact that, yeah, I guess I am more an atheist than anything else. Christmas time is a strange time now because people say, well, what do you do?
But what did you do? I know what my people do. What did you do?
Yeah.
What did you do, you heathen?
Well, we were planning on going to the movies and having Chinese food.
You're not my people. That's our holiday.
Well, you've complained that I'm not your people for a long time.
Yes. Well, I mean, if you're going to do that, then you need to fast on Yom Kippur.
No.
Yes.
No, not happening. No.
If you're going,
I eat crackers and laugh on Yom Kippur.
No, if you're going to enjoy our delicious Chinese food, which
we were going to do have a Jewish Christmas. Not like we weren't invited any place, but we really, really wanted to go and see the movie Krampus.
What is Krampus?
Oh, Krampus is an alpine. Not a religious belief, but a folk tale about this being that is sort of the anti-Santa Claus. And in the folk lore, he comes and he, instead of, you know, all the good little kids get presents from Santa for being good. And Krampus comes and punishes the bad children.
Well, that sounds like a wholesome Christmas story.
It is. It's the other side of the Christmas story.
Is his wife hot?
There's a major movie out called Krampus this year.
Is Krampus's wife hot? Because Mrs. Claus is not.
There doesn't seem to be a Mrs. Krampus, and maybe that's why he's so damn angry.
Now, instead of, like, reindeer, is he, like, being dragged on a scooter by cows?
No, you know what it is? It's more like it's that Krampus is a hooved being with horns, sort of looking like most people's depiction of Satan.
Oh, well, he doesn't sound attractive at all.
No, he's not attractive at all. And oh. I don't. There is a slight change in the meaning to it all in the movie, but I don't want to, have any spoilers for people who are going to go see this major motion picture.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. You don't really get a lot of on social media. Don't spoil Krampus for me. I haven't seen that a lot.
Wait, isn't that what they were upset about?
No. It was the movie I've seen, but I guess I guess for the six people that are going to see Krampus, it's don't spoil it.
Well, you know what? You'd be surprised, because the reason we didn't go and have our very Jewish Christmas.
It really does. That movie does sound like something Jews should have to see on Christmas. It really does.
It does. I think it would make them feel so much better.
If I had known that was out there, that's the movie I would have gone for.
Well, you know what? We went for it, and it was sold out.
Those Jews! Damn you,
Jews!
Jews! On Christmas Eve or Christmas Day?
On Christmas Day.
Oh, Christmas Day. Oh. So, what did you see?
Well, you know what? We tucked our little tails between our legs and we went back home.
Oh, that is lame. There's so many movies out.
Yeah, but there was nothing we wanted to see at this theater. Nothing.
You didn't want to see Star Wars?
Well, no, because I've never seen the first three.
Oh, you are un-American.
Well, you know what? I never saw the first one, so of course then I never saw the ones after it. So I have a lot of catching up to do.
Yeah, and they were like never on TV, and it's impossible to get the videos.
No, I know.
Yeah. No, they're very hard to see, those movies. Very hard.
they're cult classics.
Has Mr. Helix seen them?
I believe he has.
But
he wasn't really into going to see the new one.
You know what? This is un-American, unpatriotic. You don't love America. You don't. In 12 days, Star Wars has made over $1 billion. Why? Because we're Americans. That's why.
Apparently, I'm not one of you.
You're not.
What did you think of it?
What?
What did you think of it?
Well, I saw it twice. The first time, you know, as I explained last week, I saw it by myself.
Right.
And I explained. But this time, on Christmas Eve, we had a very Jewish Christmas. On Christmas Eve, we went to the Chinese buffet. And can I say, I found the Chinese food exceptional this time. It was like the Chinese people raised their game for Christmas Eve.
Really?
Yes. Very good Chinese food. But
wow.
I do feel bad for, not for the Chinese people, because they're probably not celebrating Christmas, but I feel bad for the other people that are like in the Chinese restaurant, like kind of alone or with like one other person on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. I kind of feel sad for them.
Well, you know, I think that one of the things, I understand what you're saying, and I think that one of the things that is kind of sad about Christmas is that, you know, like, I don't know what percentage, but most people are doing something Christmassy, even if you don't follow that religion. You're going to somebody's house.
Yeah.
So it is sad to see, like, you know, the odd ducks who are by themselves. That always makes, you know, seeing people by themselves on a major holiday like that makes me feel sadder than, you know, any other day that you see somebody by themselves. Then you think, oh, it's your choice, or you just happen to be eating alone tonight. But then on a night where everybody's gathering, then you really feel bad.
Yeah, I kind of ruins it for me. I almost wish they'd be shuttered away out of sight.
Really? Because they're impinging on your good time.
Right. I feel like that's the move. Either the restaurant has to make that call or they should know themselves.
Well, is that sort of like saying, like, the whole idea of clubs having the gates so that they keep the ugly people out so that the good-looking people don't feel bad about them?
No, I think you need ugly people at a club.
Why?
To buy the pretty girls drinks. I think it's good for commerce. Because good looking guys do not have to buy girls drinks.
And ugly girls have to buy drinks.
Ugly girls tend not to buy drinks.
Well, you know, it's going to be a long wait if you're waiting for somebody to buy you one then. Trust me, I know.
Yeah, I mean, you got to be very brave and to be ugly and go to a club. Very brave.
Yeah, or delusional.
Well, I mean, listen, it's every night 2 a.m. comes, so somebody might drink you attractive. You never know.
Yes, it's true. There are the beer goggles. There's always that to wait for.
See, my downfall in that whole thing was I was always hungry before 2 a.m. So I'm like, let's go. I want to go to the diner.
That, maybe that wasn't your downfall. Maybe that was your saving grace.
Maybe. But that maybe. Yeah. But, you know, I'm like, I could stay here and get picked up by an ugly chick or drink an ugly chick pretty, or I could get cheese fries. I'm going to get cheese fries.
I think the cheese fries was the best way to go.
It was, and I had a faster metabolism then. So cheese fries at 1:32 a.m., not a bad deal.
And also, you didn't have to wake up and then make excuses to get cheese fries out of your house.
Yeah, that's always awkward.
Very awkward.
Yeah, because, you know, as a guy, because, you know, like, even though you don't want to see him anymore, you don't want to be a jerk. So you kind of treat him nice, kind of.
Well, and as a girl, that you have, there's the getting up and sneaking off to the bathroom to put on more makeup so that they don't see what you really look like, and then sneaking back into bed and pretending to wake up.
I don't know about that. I was a light sleeper in a twin bed. Nobody was sneaking anywhere. It is amazing. I used to get girls to come back to my place and sleep with me in a twin size bed. It is completely absurd to me now. Often with Star Wars sheets.
Well, see, now one look at the sheets and it's done.
You know, I don't think they were going, well, he must be a collector.
I don't think they were worried about the size of the bed, nor the sheets, if they've come back with you.
Yeah, I mean, I was fortunate that way. They overlooked a lot, and I appreciate that. Now, look,
I think that had you had, say, Jack the Ripper sheets, it would have been a different story.
Maybe, but I appreciate the vaginas that laid their pride on the line so I could be with them. That was nice.
Joe's girl says that you kept the lights off.
Did I keep the lights off? No, because I was young. Now you keep the lights off. You cover yourself in a shroud. Maybe you give them the Three Stooges eye poke. You know, now.
No. That's not what was getting in their eye.
Well, yeah, it's a little forward if you just try to shoot in their eye. Go, listen, baby. This is for both of us. Just don't blink. I mean. It's a little much.
Poke him right in the eye.
No, but yeah, I don't remember having much game because, you know, I was shy.
Yeah, I don't think I had any game whatsoever.
But still.
I remember talking to a guy in this one bar in this one kind of snobby town, and for some reason, I decided to say that he was really nice, even though I thought everybody in that town were snobs.
You're the one.
That didn't go over well.
No, because he probably has family in that town and friends.
Yeah.
No, I don't know
why I blurted that.
Yeah, your game was worse than mine. I didn't insult people or their origins.
No, I insulted people right up front.
No, I was very nice. I was a much nicer human being than I am now.
What?
I was nice. I didn't insult people. You know, if their girth hurt my back, I did not complain to them. I was nice.
Well, I think the thing, it's a whole different ball game, though, if you're trying to get laid versus you're talking to somebody on the radio.
Yeah, I pretty much know nobody's going to screw me from this.
Yeah, no. Nobody is coming through the ether popping through the equipment and getting to you.
No, I've pretty much come to the realization my radio personality, very unappealing to women. That's just the way it is.
Well, you know, I don't know because I haven't seen any of them actually interacting with you in person.
Well, I mean, after they drop their panties, we chat. Now I have from the radio from people say that they like my voice, which you know I guess if you only had to listen to it 3 hours a week, why not? But you know,
if they're willing to listen to you for 3 hours a week about the nonsense that we talk about, I mean I'm certainly thinking that you have an opportunity in real life.
No, but what I'm saying is my voice is much better in only 3 hours out of a whole week as opposed to prolonged exposure to it.
Well, don't you think that because the way we just sort of, you know, we're really talking and really being ourselves, that they're kind of getting the whole gamut of the experience?
No, I'm not being myself. This is as pleasant as I can be.
Right now, but
no, every show. Every show, this is as pleasant as I can be.
Oh, my God. You mean there's worse?
Yes, I call that real life.
Oh, my God. I really must be nicer to your wife. She deserves it.
Well, you know, she's been battered into a subjugation, so whatever. She knows her roles.
She knows what she's done.
Yeah, exactly. No, but, yeah, like, I didn't have game. I mean, but, you know, girls would come back. But it was a very brief period. I said this before in the air. I was a very much a relationship guy for, except for about the 6 to 8 months of college. And that was fun. But, yeah, I've been held captive most of my life. I'm like a domesticated dog. I'll hump your leg and curl up in the corner by the fire.
Throw up dinner after digging through the garbage for a while.
Yeah, but I think I'm going to have to tell my daughter that if a guy takes her back to her to his place and he's got nothing but and he's got a twin size bed, he should probably go. She should probably leave.
Why? Why is that a game changer?
I don't know. I mean, I had one. It just seems lame.
No, you know what? No, that's not the kind of stuff that women will get upset about, because with your college age, you know, there's going to be some moments where you're both horny as hell. You found a live one. Yeah, sheets are crunchy, but he's cute enough that you're going to overlook that.
Yeah. Yeah, they really did overlook a lot. God, I miss me in college.
I know. A lot of people were a lot more willing to overlook a lot of things then.
Yeah, I was a lot more doable. That was good.
Weren't we all?
I don't know about you. I didn't know you in college.
I was a lot more doable in college, although I do think that I did not have any game at all, and I did not always censor myself, so whatever popped in my head would come out of my mouth. I mean, worse than now.
Girls don't need game.
Yeah, but I didn't have boobs either.
Oh, well, I need those.
The boobs popped in much later. I didn't
really
have boobs until, like 23. All of a sudden, they arrived.
Wow, those were late-arriving boobs.
They were really late-arriving boobs.
I
told you the story, didn't I?
Yeah, I'm sure you have. That's a problem.
What?
Not having boobs until you're 23. But I dated a girl who didn't have boobs.
Yeah, but that's not always a real popular go-to.
No, I mean, but, you know, it was like messing around with a 12-year-old boy, but who's to say that's wrong?
I do wonder about the guys who found me attractive back then.
Then again,
remember, I was the gay maker.
You were the gay maker.
Yeah.
What does this have to...
Not having boobs probably had a lot to do with that.
What's this have to do with Christmas?
Nothing.
Okay. Because we were talking about Christmas.
We went off on a Krampus tangent.
Yeah. Is there any... Are they hearing any reverb in the chat room? Because I hear like a little bit of a ting when you talk.
I don't know. I'll ask them.
Well, I think I just
did.
Hey,
chatter. You hear in reverb?
Or like a ting or anything?
I am not hearing anything like that. I am... they say that I am much lower in the mix than you, so I'm yelling to be heard.
Yeah, well, there's nothing I can do about that.
I know. You can't stop me from yelling.
No. I mean, no, I can't. But I can't make you... I can't make you louder... I mean, I guess theoretically I could make myself and Joe lower, but I don't think that really...
Yeah, but that's not going to be good, is it?
No. No.
No. Joe's girl says she doesn't hear any reverb.
Okay. Well, thank you, Joe's girl. Yeah. No, I mean, I have you as loud as I can... I'll check again, but I think I have you pretty much cranked. Hold on. Yeah, I got you pinned, so there's nothing else I can do about it.
You got me pinned? That sounds sexy.
Well, the boobs finally came in, so why not?
Well, Lisa just said that you know, developing boobs early is no fun either, because she got her boobs early. I know what she means, because my friend had C's when she was 9 years old.
Wow. Well,
yeah.
I mean, the good thing about having boobs early is you can really titty fuck your teachers, so get better grades. So that's nice.
Nobody does that young.
Really? What's the age where titty fucking starts, Pip?
Definitely 16.
Is it?
What? That's not true for everybody?
I don't know.
I didn't have anything to do that with, but my friends told me stories.
Yeah, with you, it just looks like somebody's trying to start like they're a Boy Scout trying to start a spark.
on a flat piece of wood.
Yep. Why are you trying to sharpen your penis?
Lisa jumped in and said, I was 11. I hope she's talking about when she got boobs, not when she started titty-fucking her teachers.
I think when she started titty-fucking, I think that's when it was.
Yeah, 11? That's early.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah.
and Tom thought the same thing.
What, that she was saying 11?
Yeah. He says, really? 11 for your first titty-fuck, Lisa?
He's not answering
any of us anymore.
not really a huge fan of the titty fuck. Not really a huge fan.
Really? No?
No. It seems like...
I found that to be a popular item on the menu.
It seems like everybody's trying just a little too hard.
Oh.
I mean...
Interesting.
I
rather like that.
Really? I can't imagine how that would be pleasurable at all to a woman.
It's just kind of fun visually.
To see a cock. It's like seeing a cock in 3D. It's coming at me. Oh, my God. It almost hit me in the face.
Tom thinks it's overrated, too, so you're not alone.
Yeah, all right. Thank you, Tom. So the men, it's funny. The men are against the old titty fucking. But
well, Lisa has weighed in. 11 for the boobs coming in, but 25 until the first titty fuck.
Oh. All right.
I don't remember the first time, but it had to be after I was 23 because I didn't have any boobs before then.
I mean, I've done that a couple times in my life, and the reason it hasn't been more is for what?
What? Well, you know what? That's what makes life. Life is like a meatloaf.
Oh, God, no.
You never know what's going to be on the menu.
No, I mean, if a chick wants to do it, I'll do it. But like I said, I don't see how it's pleasurable for them. You know, I mean, you really got to work to complete that for a guy.
Oh, come on. There's other things that probably aren't pleasurable for some women that you wanted them to do.
Yeah, but it was pleasurable for me.
Well, see, now that's the whole difference. So just take the it's not pleasurable for women out of the equation because you're being a hypocrite.
Hold on. Somebody's coming.
What?
No. I thought the wife was coming downstairs. She is coming downstairs. Oh. Quick, hide. Shut up, you numbskulls. Oh, it's Joe. Oh, forget it. Everybody take out your dicks. Joe's here.
Oh, hey. Hey, Joe.
Well, he's not on mic, but he says hello. He'll be on mic soon enough.
Well, he heard we were talking about titty fucking, and he ran as hard as possible to get in on this conversation on time.
Joe? Pro or against titty fucking?
I'd be pro.
All right, Joe's pro. Spit out the gum, stupid. People hear that. Joe is the only male who is weighed in who is pro titty fucking. But you know, Joe always likes to go against the grain like that. He's a rebel.
Well, and Lisa says it isn't pleasurable. So,
well, for a woman, no, exactly. Unless you want to go to the doctor the next day with pink eye, why would it be?
Necessarily finish. It's just part of the hors d'oeuvre.
It's a whole lot of work if you're not going to finish. People are going to cramp up. My quads and hamstrings have to be in supreme shape. Otherwise, I'm sitting on you. Do you really want my ass on your tummy while... I mean, it's inappropriate. My ball... No, there's nothing good about it. I mean, sure, Joe's an athlete, but, you know, the rest of us, not so much.
But, well, if the girl's on top.
The girl's on top?
Yeah.
How does that work? I've never done that.
They just go on top of you, and
I've never heard of the titty fuck with the girls on top.
Yeah,
yeah. You straddle the legs. Go in for the.
Oh yeah, now I could kind of see.
We have a pro on the phone.
Well, you know. She's good at certain things.
I could see
that. Why do you think she's always sick? She's got dicks all over her. I can't come in. I got cum on the face again.
Got a pro on the phone. Right.
The first time.
Oh, I know how to do that. Yeah, you sling your leg over the side and go.
You were the one who said you knew how to do it.
Huh? I had it. Oh, never mind. Some kind of gymnastic feat. It's really not.
Well, listen, I'm learning. I'm glad you guys are here to educate me.
See, we're here to help.
Yeah, you are. So, all right. So Christmas Day was a wash for you?
Yeah, pretty much. Once we got to the movies and we saw that the one showing of the movie that we wanted was sold out and it wasn't available at the first movie theater we went to, and then the second one was sold out, we were pretty much, yeah, we're going to go home and have leftovers.
Well, I went on Christmas Eve. We did the Jewish Christmas, and I took the wife to see Star Wars. I'd already seen Star Wars, so I knew when certain key parts were coming up, certain emotional parts were coming up. So instead of watching the movie, I would turn and watch her because I wanted to see.
Aww.
Yeah, I wanted to see her reaction because there was parts, like I said last week, where my jaw dropped, and I wasn't titty fucking anybody, so it was okay. Nothing was going to come in. So. And I'm looking at her, and she's sitting there stone face. No reaction.
Really?
Yes.
And why was that?
That's the next question. We talked about it afterwards, Joe. And I said, well, I could tell that was coming. I could see that coming. I'm such a cynical person. I mean, just ruins it. I mean, I'm a cynical douche, but how cynical is she? Oh, I could tell as soon as he did that that was going to happen. Again, I'm not trying to give away the movie, so I'm being very vague about certain things. Oh, and I could tell that person was going to come back. Well, how could you do that?
I knew they were going to be in space.
Yeah, but this she knows. But once again, last night, I'm watching a movie that's an hour and a half long. She comes in an hour 15 into the movie. You know, she starts asking me questions. I'm like, no, no, no. There's 15 fucking minutes left in the movie. I'm not explaining this shit to you. I'm not catching you up on almost all the movie.
No. If with 15 minutes left, there's a lot of catching up to do.
Yeah.
You know, if you shoot the 15 minutes in, that's the guy. The guy knows the guy. The guy knows the girl. There we go.
Yeah. That was pretty much it.
Yeah.
Now don't say any more. But whatever. So how was your birthday, Pip?
Oh, hang on one second, because Joe's girl says that she's hearing static now.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
And so is Lisa. It was all the talking about titty fucking. It blew the whole system.
Static. All right, so I will stop it, and we will restart.
That's an idea.
What else am I going to do? I'm going to sign us off.
All right.
And we'll go back on.
Okay.
Fuck.
Okay.
All right. Hang tight.
We'll continue in a moment.
Damn. All right. Now let's start the show again because I'll cut this shit out. Pip, how was your birthday?
Well, you know, my birthday was pretty good. We went over to a Christmas party on my birthday.
A Christmas party on your birthday?
Yeah, because my birthday is the 19th of December, and it was on a Friday. So we had this really good Christmas. A friend of ours was having a really good Christmas party, so we went over there for my birthday.
Nice.
That's cool.
Yeah.
They give you a
It was excellent. I mean, generally, because my birthday falls in December, and it's like, you know, you kind of want to have your own damn day.
That Jesus Christ is awfully pushy.
Hogging up the day with his birthday.
Everybody thinks it's all about him.
All about him for a month.
Hey, but look on the bright side, Pip. Nobody's waging a war against you.
How do you know that?
No, because I turned on Fox News. There's no war on Pip's birthday.
Really, I haven't heard of Pipness. No, wait. Maybe the mic should be off.
Pipness, yeah.
No, that's all right. She chuckled from afar.
The thing is, I missed something.
You missed many things.
No. Don't worry.
So the thing is that generally, I was just really annoyed that, you know, like all December babies get sick of getting their birthday presents in Christmas wrapping. And I know that's really a first world problem because you're getting a friggin' present and you shouldn't stick your nose out of it.
Yeah, you know what? You know what? There's kids in countries that don't celebrate Christmas that in December get clumps of mud.
That's right. Sometimes the mud washes away.
Yeah, so
I'd be happy for a clump of mud if it just came in some damn flowery wrapping that wasn't red or green.
Well, there's an idea for next season.
Next year we'll get her a Hanukkah present.
Right.
That'd be nice.
That would be fine.
Or we'll get her a Ramadan Christmas present. We'll get her a Ramadan present. We'll give it to her in the summer.
I always love the name of that. It sounds like a 50s song. Ramadan, Ramadan, ding dong, doo 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 moon.
Really? Do you have to make us the target of a terror attack?
So-
really? That's Joe Curry, ladies and gentlemen.
You're
Joe
damn
Curry.
Right it is. Come and get me. I'm ready for you.
Yeah, all right, settle down, Donald Trump.
Yeah.
You don't have a bunch of bodyguards protecting you. No. You got a pseudo bird superhero that you are.
There'll be no match for Blue Hawk, my friend.
I'm sure they will be, as long as there's a clog.
Yeah.
So it was a good birthday.
Yeah, it was nice. I mean, it goes against my usual kind of annoyance at everything being about Christmas instead of, like, getting to have my own day.
But, sorry.
Really? Who the fuck are you?
Yeah. Sorry. It rolls around that time of year. If you were born in July, it'd be about the 4th of July.
Anybody who's born in, like, another month gets to have their own damn birthday with, like, a cake, a present that's, like...
Yeah, how about
how
about the Orthodox Jews that have birthdays in the fall and their birthday falls in Yom Kippur? You know, oh, what, no cake? No, nobody's fucking eating anything. Now shut up, stupid, and go to temple.
Yeah, well, most people are in my therapy group, too, okay?
I don't know. You're awfully needy. I'm not even home anymore for my birthday. I'm going to be away again this coming year for my birthday.
Oh, well, slow down. Really? It's not going to be like you're going to be in Newark. Where are you going to be, dumbbell?
I don't like the tone.
Shut up your face. Where are you going to be?
I'm going to be Atlanta.
Shut up. You're going to be in the Bahamas. Yeah. Oh, honey bunch.
But I'm going to be alone. Going to be alone.
Oh, yeah, really? You'll have good. Maybe the Dolphins will break your cake.
They won't.
No. Can you see, like, the Dolphins come up in a pool with a little cake on their snout with a dumbbell?
Yeah. That'd be nice, but my room's nowhere near where the Dolphins stay.
Yeah. See, me, I don't care. I don't celebrate birthdays, really, so it doesn't make a difference.
I don't celebrate anything.
No,
I don't. My life is just a continuous thing of days and nights.
That's fine.
What a sad way
changed
to exist.
Mine's changed in a couple of years where there's a lot of bright spots, but for years.
Oh, aren't you just a sweetie pie?
Yeah. Yes, I am.
Oh, just a sweet, sensitive guy.
Oh, yes. I'm turning into a human being.
Now, let's not get crazy.
What?
Yes. She's stunned.
I know who to blame.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know who to blame too.
Yeah.
How dare you? Don't wreck this. He's funny when he's miserable. Don't.
I'm sorry. I'm coming out of my misery stage.
Oh fuck. No!
Your whole entertainment career has been predicated on that.
I understand.
I hope you enjoy selling plumbing equipment for the rest of your life.
Yeah, right.
You're going to be happy selling plumbing for the rest of your life.
It's Joe Curry. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. What a great day it was. I walked through a rose garden and I picked some daisies. Boo! Boo!
Well, I think if ever there was a case for Hillary Clinton, you've just heard it. If you like funny Joe, vote Hillary.
I want Ron, I want that old bitch, I hate her.
Well,
Ron.
Those are the options. Yeah. If you don't, you know, if you like Joe being miserable and bringing the comedic gold to you folks, unfortunately, his personal life is looking well, unfortunately. All we could do is vote Democrat, ladies and gentlemen. Vote Democrat.
I want to be your president, Ron.
Who is that, John F. Kennedy with
no,
a cold?
No, that's Hillary Clinton. She talks like a freaking robot. The bitch at Medtronic 2000. I want to be your president.
Yeah, because none of the other people running want to be president.
No, but that's the way she is. I want to be your president. She's got the emotional capacity of an anvil. She stinks.
I know. You like an emotional basket case with his finger on the button. That's comforting to you. Somebody who anger tweets at 3 a.m. comforts you, Joe. And another thing, this motherfucking Putin, he said we were friends. Fuck you, Kiev.
Right on. Keep it going.
And the last thing from civilized society was a tweet.
Bomb flew.
1,000 years when Earth is habitable again, they'll find a record of one last tweet by Donald Trump. Could happen.
Pretty funny.
Nah, not if you're living it.
No.
Everything will be relaxed, kids. Everything will be just fine.
All right, we bring up Donald Trump. I put this on my Facebook, so I'll bring it here. I theorized on Facebook that the best thing that happened to Donald Trump's campaign was Jon Stewart retiring from The Daily Show. Because I theorized Jon Stewart is the one guy who could go at Trump. Because for Stewart, Trump was comedic gold. And, you know, he kind of lampooned him in a very way. And even if he didn't watch The Daily Show, it was on all the morning shows. All the cable morning shows and all the network morning shows. They always showed highlights of The Daily Show. And that's where a lot of people got their news. Because why watch the news when you could get a 3-minute soundbite? So that's where they got their news. And Donald Trump has shown one thing. He's shown a lot of things. But he really doesn't have a sense of humor. And he really can't take a punch. I mean, we saw that at the correspondence dinner when Obama, after the birth of thing, made fun of Trump a little bit, kind of sat there with a jowly pout on his face. And Carly Fiorina's big moment was when she had a line to bitch slap Donald, and Donald really didn't have a response
to
that.
Well, the thing you got to understand, if you're a person that, you know, you have people saying yes, sir, to you all the time.
No, I understand.
You know, it's
I understand.
You're not used to that. Yeah,
I understand.
And I'm not defending. I understand what you're saying. I'm not even, you know, I'm not going to try to defend the guy.
But even the media now is afraid of really going at Trump because they don't want to get anger tweeted, and they don't want to.
He comes back at them.
He does, because they're afraid of him.
Yeah,
they're afraid. But Jon Stewart was never afraid. And if Trump ever hit something on the nose with Jon Stewart, he would have been self-deprecating about it and would have laughed about it and had fun with it. Trump is not self-deprecating at all.
I think Trump would probably wind up being on The Daily Show as an interview.
I don't think he would. He never has. I mean, I'm sure.
Been in a position to be on there, you know.
Trump, yeah, Trump's always in a position.
I don't mean a Trump in a position for him to be on it. For the Daily Show to invite him on in a situation to invite him on.
Every time when he was doing the Celebrity Apprentice, mm-hmm. you know, they want to promote that. You know, mm-hmm. they could have had Trump on. Trump's never been a shrinking violet. I'm sure Trump had an open invitation. It's not that would not be a good forum. For Donald Trump, because he would be sitting across from somebody who's not afraid of him.
Mm-hmm.
And what you've seen is Donald Trump is very good when he's on top.
Mm-hmm.
Jeb's one shining moment, and Joe was watching it with me, we were watching the last debate, was when Jeb actually finally went right at Trump, and all Trump could do was make silly childish faces.
The thing about it was that Trump let his guard down for several minutes.
I don't think Trump ever lets his guard down.
No, the one thing that I did not like. He kind of slammed Bush in the end, but the first part of it
owned Bush for like 4 months.
I understand, but he lost his composure a little bit. That's what I didn't like.
But my point is, he doesn't have a sense of humor. And everybody's afraid of Trump. And Hillary doesn't have a sense of humor. I mean, she can laugh a little bit, but she's not going to.
If she sees laugh on the teleprompter.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, nobody's really expecting Hillary to be able to deliver some quality zingers.
Now, could you imagine if you had to write jokes for Hillary Clinton?
I mean, you could. You would have to write for that voice.
Oh, my God. Two Jews walk into a barn.
No, I mean, it would be a. It would have to be kind of like in the Carly Fiorina tone, like very low key and mm-hmm. pointed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like going to be bombastic like Chris Christie or
yeah.
Donald Trump.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, I don't know if Hillary could. How many is she going to deliver?
Yeah.
I mean, really, because if Trump did come back, she'd be like, Trump wouldn't know what to do. These politicians are not geared for this.
It's like Hillary Clinton makes Carly Fiorina look like frickin' Lisa Lampanelli.
Wow.
That's a really good point. That other one has no sense of humor.
Yeah. I don't know if any of them ever talk about getting big black dick.
it's the blacks.
Is that Hillary's campaign platform? Yeah. There'll be big black cock in every vagina?
I would love Lisa Lampanelli for president. And you Puerto Rican. You'll get.
I think we have that. It's called Donald Trump.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know if other heads of state could take her seriously, though.
No, well, I don't think they. Well, whatever, not because whatever they think about that. But do you agree, Joe, that if Jon Stewart not being around has helped Donald Trump maintain his being on top? Nobody's going to approach him.
I think it would be a pissing contest every morning. He probably, you know, every time that Jon Stewart would goof on him, they would want Trump's response. Maybe it would even have it might be even more. Having Trump in the news than he is already responding to whatever
he said,
you know. So.
But Trump can respond meanly. We know Trump can be crude and mean, and he could do that. But you do that to a comic. So, you know, it's the same thing. Somebody calls us an asshole. We got a million ways to call them an asshole back, but do it nicely and get everybody on our side. It's not a fair fight.
He could, but if it's a day later, you know, when after he could be more dismissive because it's not in a moment. It's like, let's say.
But Trump doesn't dismiss anything. Trump is not a dismissive person. He wants to find slights.
I understand that, but he would have time. He would have time if it was a response. Let's say the Daily Show's on at night, and he goofs on Trump.
You don't think there'd be an anger tweet at 11:38?
It could be, but it would be his people probably, you know, either directing him or something that he would.
Wait a minute. So you think he's got writers now? You think there's writers writing that shit?
But there's got to be somebody there regulating what he does.
You think somebody's regulating Donald Trump? I thought that was the whole attraction. Nobody regulates this guy.
Not regulate, but somebody there. I mean, he employs people to tell, you know, in this arena how to handle himself. Albeit, there's been a lot of rough spots. But you know,
if he's got writers, he should fire them.
But I don't. Right. But just directing him. You know what I'm saying? If he makes a John.
So you think it would actually benefit Trump with Stewart?
It would benefit Trump because he would tweet something. You know, he would go after John Stewart and tweet it.
But I don't think he could do it successfully.
That remains to be seen because basically it would be something if he would come back at John Stewart at every turn that John Stewart would make. It's not like another.
But that lowers him. That lowers Donald. Here you have a man running for president of the United States, the highest, and he's arguing with a late night comic.
But I think a thing about it is all the other politicians just sit there with a stick in the mud and not acknowledge the true situation, and that's what kind of people are getting sick and tired of.
Well, I don't think they've ever could expect something like Donald Trump. None of these politicians on either side could expect to see the type of campaign that Trump is running.
Because the campaign Trump is running, he's running on the frustration of the country.
But no, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that part of it. I'm talking about the way he conducts the campaign.
Exactly.
The way he yells at people.
But he conducts it differently, where a lot of politicians, because of political correctness, they don't tell it like it is. They don't respond
well,
like
I think
a normal
political
person,
correctness is part of
but
it.
But he doesn't respond.
Political correctness is part
right,
of it,
but
there's also decency.
I understand that, but they don't know. Here's the thing. They really never respond back like a normal person would. It's always this political correctness. Hear me out, please. Now, Trump does that, okay? He responds back. He does need to pull it back a little bit. And in certain situations,
you see, most of his supporters don't want him to pull it back.
You know, but sometimes he'll need to do that. But he doesn't, and it basically the people are seeing it as kind of refreshing that there is a guy that's not going to take any guff from the media, and he's going to tell it like it is in his way, and it's feeding in to where people feel. People are frustrated politically that the people that are representing us really don't. And a kind of out of step. And even though he says all these things, what he says is true in the raw aspect about it. Build a wall. We're going to build a wall. Well, all right. Maybe we can or we can't. Who knows? But it's bringing up the problem of illegal immigration. You know,
I don't want to get into a whole Trump thing. I know.
But let's use that as the template for what I'm saying. He's bringing out, you know, and he is.
No, I know why he's successful against these politicians.
Right.
I know. I understand that.
But this is kind of way he would be successful against John Stewart, or at least have hold his own on that.
See, I don't think he would. Pip, what do you think?
I don't really think that he would be successful because so much of what was successful about interviews on The Daily Show with politicians and other, like, you know, heads of state type people was that the people who had a sense of humor about themselves did better against him than ones who don't. And he really does not seem to have a sense of humor about himself. As a matter of fact, he seems to be coming from a position of being defensive a lot with bluster, and I don't think that would do well. I mean, you know, I, of course, this whole conversation is academic because we're not really going to see a conversation between the two of them, but it's my feeling, the same as Davin, is that he wouldn't do well there. That's not,
well,
that would not be his arena.
Here's the reason where he would not. If John, and this is John Stewart's forte, coming out with something about what Trump did or a situation that Trump was in and make it so farcical the way Trump handled it that it would be kind of hard for Trump to come back. Let's say
that's what I'm saying.
Well, that's, you know,
but they don't even know how to attack this guy because they attack the farcical things Trump says, but it's in a non-humorous way, so the Trump supporters just dismiss it. And listen, the far right-wing people, they're going to love Trump. There's nothing you could do about that. They're going to love Trump. But I think the people that aren't so far right, I think if John Stewart was still around, they would look at Trump possibly differently. The fact that he is so humorless would be reflected. Most people like a sense of humor. And he does not seem... What?
Well, I was disagreeing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, Joe and I and all of us, we kind of base our whole career on the fact that people like a sense of humor. And it's kind of interesting to see this man get so far without any humor. And it hasn't really been exposed. And listen, Hillary's not going to expose it. Bernie's not going to expose it. And none of the people on the right are going to expose it.
Because they have no sense of humor.
No, you're right. You're right. None of them have really...
Not them. And you can have a good... And you could have the best writer in your staff. And you can, with a personality like those people have, it's not... You're going to...
Absolutely. I mean, that's why...
The only thing you could do is get Larry David.
No, but you got to be able to deliver it. It's more...
You have to... Have to deliver. It's all in delivery.
I said this. I said Chris Christie should get some writers so he could attack Trump because Chris Christie could deliver it.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Christie's got the type of blustered I don't give a crap attitude mm-hmm. where he could deliver, but he's got to have writers.
Yeah.
But I still think that the best thing that happened for Trump was Stewart retiring because Stewart would go one-on-one with not every night, but he would make fun of Trump. And everybody's afraid to make fun of Trump because they don't want to show up in his tweets.
How is the Daily Show even doing? I don't think they're doing that well.
And
I'm not damning that. I don't know.
I mean, I watch it.
I mean, it's believe me, it's to try to follow Jon Stewart's footsteps. I mean, he was and Jon Stewart. I mean, when Craig Kilborn had it, you know, Kilborn had his funny stuff like that.
Yeah.
And just Jon Stewart went in there, it totally changed.
Well, Stewart.
The game.
Well, Stewart didn't. You know, it didn't jump this to what it was immediately. It takes some time.
But it took time. You know, it.
Supposedly, it's doing better on social media, but that's because you got a younger staff. I mean, Trevor Noah's a younger guy, so he's involved with the tweeting.
Right.
For me, for the watch, it doesn't compare.
Yeah, no, it's very hard shoes to fill.
It's not funny.
Yeah.
It's not funny nearly as much, and the interviews are painful.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought Jon Stewart was the best interviewer in late night
because Jon Stewart was more of a humane kind of person in the interview. You know what I'm saying? He kind of made you feel comfortable.
Yeah, it was a different approach, and he would ask tough questions.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, and he would have Republicans on, and you know, Bill O'Reilly was always on the
mm-hmm.
show.
Yeah,
and they could have, you know, Trevor Noah, whether he's talking to an actor or a politician, whatever it is, always seems out of his depth.
Yeah,
it's
You
agree, Pip?
Yeah, I do. He doesn't quite, he seems sort of like, you know, I mean, it's sort of like Jon Stewart was a very popular senior, and Trevor's like a freshman finding his way.
Right. And also,
someone is going to get shoved in
the
locker.
And here's another thing about The Daily Show. You know, sometimes you go to watch when it was on TV, but The Daily Show now is if you came upon The Daily Show, you'd be like, all right, yeah, cool, The Daily Show, and you put the remote down. But now it's like, okay, maybe there's something else, you know, and then maybe you go, if there's not something as good, you know, you go back to it, but, you know, if there's something else, you're not, you know.
There are moments, but it's not the same. I mean, I really like Jon Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked him in that role, and I really feel that we lost a voice. Of sense to make sense out of all this.
Well, it kind of changed the game of report. You know, I mean, it was something that was, you know, comical farce and stuff like that. But it got to.
It was a conversation starter. I mean, he did so much for the Zadroga. Zadroga bill.
Yeah, the Zadroga bill. Yeah, he was. That's admirable what he did, and it was great to have that voice because. Let's use that situation where you have a guy like Jon Stewart. Who can call people out, and he would go to Congress and he would call them out. Really, you're not supporting this. What's the matter with you people? And he was the right guy for the right guy.
He grew into that.
Yeah,
but that wasn't the point. All right, so we got everybody's opinion on that. So Joe, you had a busy Christmas.
Yeah, it was very good. We had I'm getting to the point. I guess maybe my life is changing for the better because I'm actually enjoying a lot more things.
You're no longer sleeping with canned goods.
Yeah. But I'm just enjoying stuff, really. My Christmas holiday has been really, really good. You know, Joe's girl and I had a good time. I did my Santa Claus shows. My Santa Claus shows, I usually am like, I can't do this anymore. I had a great time doing all the Santa shows. They were
really,
not
all of
really
them.
Good.
We did get a couple of some.
Well, a couple of them, but I really had a great time doing them.
That's unfortunate.
No, you can't do that because it's bad for the show.
Thank you, Pip.
Oh, it's going to get worse, too. And then Christmas, I was...
It's going to get worse?
Christmas Day, I was at the compound, the Christmas party there, and everything will be... I can't really get into much detail, but everything is going to be fine. Everything is going to be worked out. You know, they're figuring everything out.
Are you talking about his situation?
Yeah, his situation.
Are they still talking?
No. But as soon as everything gets in court.
This all goes away, and Anthony promises to go down to the Stress Factory a couple times a month. Put some asses in seats.
Maybe. But no, it worked out. I had a really good time. All my friends were there, and we had a great time. We drank, sang karaoke, had a good time. Got up the next day, had to go upstate to see my family. And it was really, it's really nice when you go see family, because basically as you get older, you learn to cherish things a lot more than you did younger, because you lost family relatives, you know, and you miss people that are no longer around. So when you are with people that you love very much and they're there, you cherish every moment that you're there. And I had a really good visit. I went to, you know, my brother's doing well, my sister-in-law's doing well. We went to my nephew Matt's house, and my two nieces, Lisa and Christine, were there, and my nephew Scott, and I haven't seen them in several years. And the best thing is my two grandnieces were there, little Ella and little Eamon. And I've seen them on Facebook. You know, I've seen Ella. Ella's almost two. I've seen her on Facebook, you know, since she was born. I've just wanted to hug and hold her. And Eamon is almost a year now, and I saw him. And I
Did you ask them whose tail it was?
No, they don't have tails. But there was a dog there. I asked. He got a tail idea. So, who's is this?
Joe from News 12.
Yeah, Joe from News 12. So, but it's just like these little babies. You just want to hug and hold. And I finally got to hold them. And they're absolutely adorable. And had fun time with them. I got them little presents. And it was good. You know, it was good, very good to be with family. I had a really nice breakfast with my nephew Scott. And then we had
Shouldn't
a nice
you dress
dinner.
As Santa Claus for them? I mean, you got the garb.
Oh, it wasn't with me in the car. It was at Aunt's on New Year's. Joe's Aunt's brother's girlfriend, Carol, was going, "You should dress up as Santa." And I actually had this stuff in the car. I still had my stuff in the car the night before. And I'm like, I want to get all dressed up and all that stuff. You know.
Well, there's kids there. What, they have their kids there?
Yeah, they have their kids.
Oh, there. So you do it for the kids. That's nice.
Yeah, but I it was just a
Why is Santa Claus drunk?
Yeah. That's true.
Why is Santa going in the hot tub?
Yeah. Child.
Yeah.
Santa singing karaoke.
Yeah. But I had a very, very enjoyable Christmas. It was really, really best Christmas I've had. Most enjoyable time in about 10 years. I would say 10 years. And the funny thing about it is when I say goodbye to my brother every year, I go, "Yeah, John, I'll try to come up. You know, maybe I'll come up in the spring. Maybe I'll, you know, the fall. Sometimes I can, sometimes I can't." I flat out told him, I go, "See you next Christmas," because I'm, you know.
But shouldn't you go up before Christmas?
Well, I usually try, but with our schedules, the show, our comedy careers, all that, we're busy. I mean,
we put aside a weekend.
I know. We try. You know, with what we do, it's kind of rough. I may break away and go up there, but this year is going to be a very tough year. The house has to be up for sale in May, and I'm going to start working on the house like a maniac, getting it ready to sell next week. You know, I start that and get that moving. You know.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. That's good positive motion for you.
Well, the thing about it, Pip, is, and you guys had to deal with me 2 years ago, and I listened to some of the shows we did when we came back in January of 2013, and I was listening to those shows. I'm surprised, you know, thank you for putting up with me, because I just listened to a person that wasn't even there. I had funny moments. Yeah, I know, but I wasn't, come on. Yeah, I mean, look, I wasn't myself. It's like,
that's kind of what we enjoyed.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't. There were several meetings, I know for a fact. No, you didn't.
No, we didn't like that version of you. That one was not fun.
Right, okay. But the thing about it is, I'm about to embark on one of the most emotionally distressing, upheaving moments in my life since my mother passed away in 92. But the thing about it is, I'm in a very, very, very good emotional state and a very good positive state. So for you know, this is the time to get things moving, because basically I'm very well equipped to handle it right now.
That's good. That's uplifting.
Yes.
We look good for you not being a psychopath in 2016.
Well, once the house is sold, can't guarantee that. But nonetheless, I have a very good outlook.
Joe's feeling positive.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, stop shaking your head in disgust.
I'm not shaking my head in disgust.
You are, too.
I'm not.
I am.
No.
Yeah. No, he's lying.
No.
I guess new Joe is more dishonest. I wasn't shaking my head in disgust.
New Joe was honest.
I was looking at getting us to break, but Joe had a lie to the people. I don't appreciate that. So, that's... You should feel terrible about yourself now. You know, things are looking up, but you have to lie.
Yes.
Why?
Well, no. Why?
I wasn't shaking my head.
Oh, things are looking up. No, there's no lying.
I wasn't shaking my head.
Like you were.
Fucking computer.
All right. See. See who's mean and grouchy now. You're the mean and grouchy one.
Yeah, because you bring it out on people.
I do not.
You want me to call Joanne?
Yeah, well, we got a big to-do about that. You know, she keeps asking, what time are you going to be home? What time are you going to be home?
Why does she care?
I'm not telling
her. Well, she wants to know when to start banging the pots and pans.
But that's the thing. I come home, like, tonight I'll come home. She'll be in the way. And she wrote me this whole letter. She goes, I do things when you're home. Who makes sure that you have toilet paper? Who makes sure that the coffee mugs are clean? Who makes sure that the dishes in the sink are clean? And who has to tell you the garbage has got to go out? I go, all of this.
Who has to tell you?
I go, all this shit could be wrapped up in an hour. What are you doing all night?
She'll do certain things, but she ain't taking out the trash. She'll tell you. And by the way, it's time you take out the trash.
Oh, yeah. I told her. I go, if the garbage is so important, you take it out. I don't have the strength. I go, you do.
How much trash are you people making?
I don't know. She lives for garbage. She really.
Well, that's what she promised her death or sickness and health. You know, of course she does. I think you guys signed a wedding contract. Wasn't that in your vows? I live for garbage?
I didn't really read that.
Oh, well, you should have.
But
it's always the fine print.
No, but I'm like, it's finally the clouds are clearing. And realizing that, you know what? I mean, there are things in the marriage that were my fault, but not that much.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, I don't know.
Nothing to see here. Move along. Nothing to see here.
Joe has proclaimed that really not his fault.
No,
okay.
there were things that were my fault, but there were
like not taking out the trash on time. Yes, you're an angel.
Yes, I am.
And she did all this to you. And now it's all coming to an end, and you'll be warm and cheery and delightful.
We can go to break.
We'll go to break. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Davin's Den.
On RogueRadio.com, TuneIn.com, HawkRadio.net. You can also listen to replays of the show every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern on RainRockRadio.com and TalkSuperStation.com on Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern. You'll find all of our shows, plus customized highlights of us scamming the scammers, going back to the very beginning of our interactions with our African friends. Go to iHeart.com and search Davin's Den. The Indie Authority also has apps so you can listen live on your mobile devices. Platforms include BlackBerry, Android, and Apple. Also, you can download the TuneIn app on your Apple or Android device and search for Davin's Den. You can download previous shows from the following places. DavinComedy.com, DavinsDen.com, Stitcher.com, iTunes, the Android app, iHeartRadio, RuthlessRadio.fm, TuneIn.com. iHeart can only be heard in the U.S.